Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We're going to talk about confession of God's word, how it builds faith. You know, God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. And that's how he changed Abraham. You know, he actually changed his name to change his confession. And every time it seems like God does something great through somebody, the first thing he does before that happens is he changes their confession. There's something about getting your words lined up with the Word of God that will change your mind and change your heart. You know? Now, that doesn't mean that you won't get in the flesh. But does that mean that you blew all your work out of the water? No. No, you just keep going. Keep going. See, look back at Abraham. You know, Abraham didn't do everything right. He came up with Ishmael. He told somebody that his wife was actually his sister, which she was his sister, but she was his wife. So he didn't do everything right. But nobody gets everything right. It's always possible to tell if a person is believing right by what he says. If his confession is wrong, he's believing wrong. If his believing is wrong, his thinking is wrong. If his thinking is wrong, it is because his mind has not been renewed with the Word of God. All three, believing, thinking, and saying, go together. God has given us His Word to get our thinking straightened out, so we can think in line with God's Word. Literally, we got to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. And the only way we can do that is to get in here and start building confessions. Start building faith confessions based on His Word. So in our adventures through life, we can figure out that if we'll look, number one, at what God in Christ has wrought for us in His plan of redemption, look at what God through the Word and the Holy Spirit has wrought in us in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, look at what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus, and what Jesus is doing for us now at the right hand of the Father where He ever lives to make intercession for us. And what God can do through us, or what His Word can do through our lips. Have you ever thought about what God could possibly do through you? See, this is kind of where our daydreaming part comes in. What could God do with me if I acted on His Word? You know, have you ever visioned yourself laying hands on people and seeing them getting well? Sometimes people just see the impossibilities. I know I fought this. I thought there was a formula for faith. You know, you kind of pick that up in the Word of Faith circles, that there's a formula for faith, and if you don't do everything just right, then faith isn't going to work for you. And we used to have this thing, we'd draw names out of a bucket, and it'd be a prayer, you know, somebody that needed prayer, and it'd have what was wrong with them that we needed to pray for. And I remember I picked up this one name, and this guy had brain tumors, and I thought, man, my heart just kind of sank. Man, I'm going to have to go fast, and I'm going to have to pray, and I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to get this just right, or this guy's toast. How foolish is that? Jesus said, whatever you shall ask in his name, that will he do. That takes all our efforts out of the way. All we have to do is go ask in his name and do it. He'll do it. You see, even as Christians, somehow we'll pick up this attitude where we've got to fulfill something in order to be right. You know what that is? That's keeping the law. Well, I'm not trying to keep the Old Testament law. You're trying to keep some kind of standard in order to be right before God. And the only thing that can keep you right before God is the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. God works through us by his word through our lips. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I had an interesting conversation with a lady. She was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she was talking about, she was going to teach on the gifts, and I said, it's going to be a challenge because most people are not going to operate in those gifts of the Holy Spirit until they do the first thing that Jesus said to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said we're to be witnesses unto his resurrection. We're supposed to go out there and witness to people. See, I don't know. People want to sit in the shadows and wait until it's miracle time and pop out and do a miracle. Yeah. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until you get out there and start witnessing to people to get them born again. Things aren't going to shake loose the way you think they will. And here's the reason why. When you go out there and start witnessing to people, and start talking to people, start ministering to people, that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are needed. Amen. That's when the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the word of faith will kick in. That's when miracles and healings, deliverance will kick in. That's the way God works through us. We carry the word to the lost. If we don't carry the word to the world, then we waste our time praying that God will do something. Sounds like a lot of people that were sitting around waiting for the government to do something. You're just wasting your time. You know, even in our own little niche, we still have a responsibility to go down to the courthouse and make sure our local rats do the right thing. Because they won't. If we just turn them loose, they won't. Just like if nobody goes out and tells the world about Jesus, they ain't going to know about him. And if you're sitting in the church building waiting for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation, you're wasting your time. There's times when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are good in the church, but it's out there where people who don't have the ability to hear from God and receive from God need somebody to help them along. God's best for you, God's best for you is a personal one-on-one fellowship where He can talk to you, you can hear Him and receive from Him and walk on. That's His best. If He has to use somebody to operate in the gifts of the Spirit to get through to you, then there's a hiccup somewhere. He wants to be able to have that one-on-one fellowship with you just like He did with Adam in the garden before anything happened. In other words, it would be useless to pray for someone who is lost if we do not also carry the gospel of salvation to him. It's important to pray for people, to pray for the lost. But also, when we pray for them, we need to go tell them about Jesus. Amen? If we could just pray and get people saved, we wouldn't have to send missionaries all over the world. We could just sit here and pray and everybody get born again. That's not what happens, is it? We could just pray all the heathens into the kingdom. Not going to happen. The Holy Ghost works only in connection with the Word. So, in obedience to Christ's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the disciples went forth preaching the Word everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. Notice that God didn't do a thing until the disciples preached the word. Then signs followed. Speaking of signs following, they do not follow an individual. They don't follow a famous pastor, a famous evangelist. The Bible doesn't say that the signs follow the fivefold ministry. The signs follow the Word. When you go out there and you use the Word, that's where the signs follow. And here's an important thing. You don't see it much here, but I've seen it in Midland. You know, where somebody would be doing signs and wonder something would be happening. Be a big live worship band, and man, things would be busting loose. Everybody would migrate over to that church. And they'd get goosebumps for a month or two. And then this guy over here would be doing something. And they'd be following over here to this guy. And I watched this. And pretty soon there was a pretty famous prophet that was going to be in a town up in North Texas, and everybody flocked up there, and it was a big deal, man. Everybody had to go see this guy. And I went up there and I watched this guy preach for 45 minutes. Didn't say anything about the Word of God. Talked about his website, how much it was going to cost him. Did some stuff, and people fell down and went crazy, and they were just rolling around on the floor. And then he got done and he said, anybody want to get born again, come up to the front. He went out the back door. And I thought, well, how's that going to do anybody any good? These guys were just following a goosey, bumpy feeling, following signs and wonders. Here's the thing. The devil can do signs and wonders. Did you know that? The devil can do signs and wonders. He can cause things to happen that people are just fascinated by. And that's dangerous. If you're following signs and wonders, you're in dangerous country. You have to follow the word. If you follow the word, the signs and wonders will be there. But if you're just chasing signs and wonders, you could get deceived and end up in no man's land. God moves only in line with His Word. He has magnified His Word above His name. There's a order, a certain order of things, and God is at the head of all things. And He set His Word above His own name. He will not break His Word. He will not break His Word. He says, you're blessed, you're blessed. That's just the way it is. You're blessed. So we cannot expect to get help from God if we are taking sides against His Word. Even though it may be an unconscious act on our part, we should treat the Word of God with the same reverence that we would show to Jesus if He were present in the natural. This is why our confession is so important, and to watch what we say about our confession. We can't be in here shouting hallelujah, I'm healed by His stripes, and walk out that door and go to the coffee shop and say, man, I'm so sick, I just can't hardly walk to the car. It can't be that way. You got to pick a side. You just will pick God's side. Amen? You can't shout hallelujah in here and say that my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and then walk out that door and say, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. That doesn't work. We need to get our confession lined up with the Word of God. Confession dispels fear. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. This is a really, really cool verse. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Have you ever noticed while you're reading your Bible how many times God has told His children to fear not? And He didn't say, don't be afraid. He didn't say it. He said, fear not. When Jairus sought Jesus to heal his daughter, the Lord said to him, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. Fear is the root. Science is finally catching up to this, but fear is the root of most of our diseases, if not all of them. There's people walking around saying, my grandpa died of heart disease. I ran into a guy one time down at the dollar store. I was in there shopping, and I'm just curious by nature, but this guy had every single bottle of coconut water in that store. Cases of it. He had a whole cart full of coconut water. Cases of it. And he took the loose bottles. And, just out of curiosity, I'm standing there and thought, what's up with the coconut water, man? He said, my grandpa died of heart disease. My dad died of heart disease, and I'm afraid I'm going to die of heart disease. And they said, coconut water is good for me. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, if you just lose 150 pounds, that'd be a good start. Right there. I tried to tell him, you know, about Jesus, and this guy was so... He was afraid. I don't think there's any doubt if this guy doesn't change courses, he's probably going to die of heart disease. You know, people can talk themselves into that. Job said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. He confessed it. He kept talking about what he was afraid of. People talk about that all the time. I heard people that have cancer come down through their family and they say, I'm afraid of cancer. You know, that's not healthy. They're confessing that the devil has more ability to put things into their life than God does. Fear is a serious enemy to people. And it shouldn't be tolerated. You know, when Christ was preaching to his disciples, he said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus himself said, fear not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I was just shocked when I was reading my Bible one day, and I didn't remember where this was, but it said, the kingdom of God is within you. I thought, man, that's cool. And I went and I was telling a pastor. I wasn't free. I was just born again. And not, I didn't know much. But I told this preacher that, and he said, no, the kingdom of God ain't within you. I said, I read it. No, that's not what it means. And I didn't really get a revelation of that until just before we moved down here. Because I was really struggling. I got to be honest. When I came down here to look at this, I thought the church was wonderful, but everything around was either brown. And if it wasn't brown, it was black, because that big fire just come through. And I mean, it was a mess. And it was green up there and nice. And I had a really good job and church that I love to go to, and had a house. Never had one of those of my own before, but we bought a house. And I went to go to work one day, and I got to the road, and I told God, I just stopped and I said, God, I finally got in a place where the blessing is on me, and I love it. And he said, the blessing is on the inside of you. So the kingdom of God is. Do you realize that? Wherever you go, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. It's not at a place. There's people moving all over the country, chasing the blessing, chasing that thing. They don't understand that God can bless you right where you're at. Sometimes I ask people, they say they're going to move to this other town. They start talking about these jobs, these opportunities, all this stuff. And they start talking about all this stuff going on. I said, well, where are you going to church? Where are you going to go to church at? I don't know. You know, this is something that you can do experientially. Ask God where he wants you to go to church. I did that. I did that. I asked God, where do you want me to go to church at? And he told me. My wife got home and said, pack your stuff, we're moving to Wyoming. I said, well, what are we going to do there? I said, well, we're going to go to church. Well, it was because of that we got up there and ran into people, ended up being an interim pastor. And then my pastor said, you know, you did a good job there. Somebody else called him, said, hey, you know anybody that can go pastor? Said, yeah, I know somebody. And we ended up here. Ask God where he wants you to be. That's the best idea you can come up with. Ask God where he wants you to be. He'll take care of the rest. But I can't see how. See, I went through this. It was a boom town where I was. I mean, there was just opportunity after opportunity. And I came down here and I thought, man, there's no oil field. There's no coal mines. You know, I don't know any of the ranchos. How could I be a cowboy? I was thinking, you know, there's no possibilities for me. Go anyway. Man, I'll tell you what. He's made it pretty cool. You know. He just keeps making it better. And, you know, just like Isaac sowed in that land and he became a prosperous man that year. He sowed that year in a drought and became a prosperous man. And everybody loved him for it, right? No. No, they started filling in his wells. That's something I've noticed. The more God blesses you, the more he prospers you, the more the devil sends people in to pick at you. And he uses other Christians to do it. And they just pick, 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 pick. And then there'll be somebody over here, pick, 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 pick. And then every once in a while I get in the flesh. And then they say, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be held at a higher degree. Say, yeah, guess what? I'm a cowboy too, and I'll blacken your eye. I did that one time. I was praying for somebody. I did a lot of street ministry, and I was praying for somebody. And somebody come walking out of a bar and threw a beer bottle at me and come over and hit me in the lip. So I thumped him and the cops came. It was really funny because it was right in front of a big steakhouse and the chef was out there and it was always it was cool, you know. But then the cops showed up and I told them what happened. So where are you going now? I said, I'm going to church. So I went to church and the praise and worship leader came up there and seen me with a fat lip. And he said, what'd you do? And I said, I got in a fight down in front of the chop house. I had to thump on a guy. And he said, how long did it take you to come up with that story? He said, it's true. The devil will send people in there to cause interference. You know, sometimes you may get sidetracked, but get back on track and go on with it. You know, let them little brats chirp all they want. You've got the blessing on you. Keep going with it. Amen. And he'll bless you with even more. And then pretty soon he'll bless you with so much that you just sometimes You don't know what to do. Amen. You know, the Lord appeared unto Isaac. He renewed the covenant he had made with Isaac's father Abraham. And the Lord said, "Fear not." There's that "fear not" again. "I am with you, and I will bless you." Fear is one of the biggest contaminants to Christians' faith that there is. And sometimes, you know, I've talked to people about this. You know, they'd be, sometimes people are right on that edge. You know, they could die. And you have to have this talk. So, you know, Paul said, "Oh death, where is your sting?" The sting of death has been taken away from Christians. All you do is change addresses. So what happens if you weave when you should have wobbled? You're right smack in the presence of Jesus. How bad could that be? You won. But what happens if you stand in faith and decide that there's no sting in death? Get that fear. You know, see, the fear of death, death has always been a mystery to mankind because we were not designed to die. We were not created to die. That came about from Satan. When we understand that we don't have to fear death. You know, most fears are rooted in the fear of death. People are afraid of starving to death. People are afraid of freezing to death. People are afraid of falling. You know, get up too high, you fall down, die. It's fear. And it's the fear of death. You're not to be afraid of that. Death has no sting. It's a physical departure. You just change addresses. The real you is your spirit that's trapped on the inside of your body. You know, some of us wear our bodies out faster than others. And then our bodies become uninhabitable and our spirits just have to go somewhere else. Amen? But your spirit doesn't die. See, this is the important thing. People are running around saying, "Get born again and live forever with Christ." That's true. But people end up with the idea that, you know, what if they don't get born again? Nothing? No. If you don't get born again, you live forever separated from Christ. Without any way of getting back in a possible contact with Him. If God had just said, "Don't be afraid," and left us there, He might say, "But I can't help being afraid." But not only did He say, "Fear not," He also said, "I am with you." He's with us. Sometimes we need to have a God conscience that He's right there with us. We don't have to bow to fear. Amen? Fear is a spirit. It's not coming from God. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, but not a spirit of fear. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that every time we look into your word, our faith grows stronger because we take your seed, which is your word, we put it into our heart. And we thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, that when we make mistakes, We're covered regardless of what the devil may say. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.